Blog Talk Radio.
Down. I know you're not. Praise the Lord. And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Stephen Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour.
Somebody say, just wait on him.
So if you would, go ahead and prepare your hearts to get into the Word of God with me. You can take a pen and some paper so that we can write down any questions or comments that you might have. And at the end of the ministry, we'll give you an opportunity to voice those so that we can all grow together. So if you would, join your heart with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me so that I can decrease so you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal us to the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, beloved, we want to have a topic about the grace of God, the abounding grace. You know, I really do love this topic because it shows me how God wants to get involved in my situation when I truly trust him. You know, God doesn't just move willy-nilly. He's the one that told us not to cast our pearl before swine. So if we're acting like an animal rather than a son, you know, that's not endearing to him. Abounding grace is not for my mistakes. I found that out. Grace is more for my development than my mistakes. Because if I continue to look at life through my approaching God because of a mistake, then I'm not going to develop confidence and trust in him. I'm going to then hope in deliverance only. Okay, it's not a problem to want God to deliver you. I said if I continue only going to God when I make a mistake, then I'm only going to know God in deliverance only. God wants me to release joy into the earth, release praise into the earth. Well, if I only go to God in the time of trouble and don't allow my heart to find out that he is not only Savior, Deliverer, but he also wants to be Lord, then I'm kind of shortchanging the exchange of abounding grace. See, I don't only want to know God in one dimension. He's the one that told us that we can be filled with the fullness of God. So then me only knowing him in the time of trouble, really, we would probably need to grow up. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I behaved in childish or immature ways. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. A childish thing could be understood as a God that just delivers, not a God that strengthens. Okay, let's try that one. A God that strengthens in the trial will cause me to end the trial. You do remember that when the children of Israel were faced with the armies of the Egypt, and God told them, he says, okay, well, this is what we're going to do here. He said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. See, God has the ability to eliminate the trouble that you are having. But if you don't have a heart that's looking for that, then you're only going to be looking for him to get you out of this trouble, out of this scrape, out of this hardship this time, and then I'll come back with the next one. But he didn't, I'm going to say some of these things I'm going to say again. He didn't just save you so that he can display you. There you go. That's the way you say that. He saved you so that he can, Lord Jesus, so that he can cause you to be changed into the image of his son. Okay. I know I'm going to take this one again, but the image of his son, do you only see Jesus talking to God when there is trouble? Or do you not hear the accounts that said a great while before it was day, he was found praying to his father? That's very good for us to hear, because a great while before it was day gives us the connotation that before the trouble started, God was talking. All right, you might need to write that one down. That's real good. Before the trouble started, God was talking. God always wanted to have fellowship and commune with his man in the cool of the day, when problems were not hot. See? And so then he's trying to get us back to that place where our fellowship with him would be sweet fellowship. I don't know. Let's just try some things. I remember in my life seeking God when everything had gone wrong. And again, nothing wrong with that. That would be a starting point if you would. But if I continue to go back to that place and only know him as a default for trouble, that's not really honoring him, is it? And I had heard prayers that my grandmother would offer. And I would believe that my grandmama talked to God all the time. I would believe that. But I always heard the prayers of her going through a problem. She was believing God can deliver her. That's good. That's connection there. But if he's the one that's supposed to keep me, there's promise that he made that angels have been given charge over me so that I would not stub my toe. I won't hit my foot on a stone. So how come I'm continually going to God with a bleeding foot? See, he's able to keep me. David asked these questions in Psalms 27. He says, I want to ask questions. I want to inquire in your holy temple. He says, I want to inquire there because I want to see the beauty of your holiness. I just don't want to see you as a God that delivers because trouble is all around. I want to view you from the position of holiness. You know, the Bible does tell us that we're supposed to perfect that. We're supposed to perfect holiness. Having these promises that he will be a God to me, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that he would be a God to me and I will be his children, that he would walk in me and I would walk in him. Wow. See, if I'm in him, if I am lost in his love, that's the best way I know how to say that. If I am lost in his love or in the secret tower that God provides for me, he that dwelleth in the secret place. He said that he will then be able to deliver me in the trouble, but I'm not seeking him as a deliverer. I'm seeking him as my God. I'm seeking him as one that changes my conversation. Okay? He has no problem getting to the place where you will see him as a deliverer, but I need to talk to him as a father. I would probably begin to be concerned about our relationship if all you ever did was come to me in the time of trouble. I didn't say that you couldn't do that. I said if all you did was do that. We would have to adjust some things. I don't want to go through the next years from trial to trial only. I want to know him as a God of rest. Isn't that what we quote in Psalms 23? That he's going to cause me to lie down in green pastures beside still waters, that he's going to restore my soul. If my soul is always in an uproar because of trouble, it's going to be very difficult for restoration to take place. What did you say? I'm probably too busy running from this or running into that. I don't have time to settle myself, to become steadfast and unmovable. Oh, this is just good, y'all. He wants to know us as that, those that are steadfast and unmovable. It would sound like to me that that would be one that has come to the place of believing God to get me to that still water. To the place where, come on, y'all, we still in Psalm 23. He said that my cup would do what? Overflow. If I have a cup that is overflowing, I'm not troubled about a challenge in front of me because I will have more than enough. He's El Shaddai. Is that correct? That's the God that overflows, the God that is more than enough. I don't have to live my life at the other end of a amen. We're going to have to be able to display this kind of sonship. The world is looking for that. They've already experienced one trial to the next trial. That if things ain't going bad, they're not moving at all. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. I mean, you heard these things. People are just expecting to know God, thinking about entering into God as just a problem solver. And again, I don't have a problem with that. The challenge I'm speaking of is to consistently stay there. David told us, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my heart's position is not one out of fear. Not only is it not out of fear, it is out of no fear. Come on, y'all. When I'm walking through the valley of the shadow, I should at least have, come on, just so I can hear, I should at least have a praise in my lips, shouldn't I? I should not be trying to tell God how bad the devil is. I need to spend the time introducing the devil to my God. Oh, he already knows God. But then when he knows he's my God, that changes things. See? This gives me the ability and power to now resist the devil and watch him flee. The devil has no business all up in my business. He's supposed to be under my feet. So then, just as a question, if he's supposed to be under my feet, why is it that I have so many nights that are restless, fearing what the devil might do, what the devil said he was going to do? See, even though Isaiah 54 tells us no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. See, and I like to have the understanding that as soon as I can see it is the work of the enemy, then all of his forward momentum has just stopped. It will not prosper. I mean, it's so insane, y'all. There is nothing new under the sun. The devil cannot come up with a new temptation, a new trouble. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. At the same time you see what the devil's doing, please look and find the way of escape, because he said, with the temptation. There's always two tracks that you can move on. Amen. You can move on the track of fear and worry, or you can move on the track of faith, praise, and worship. It's always two choices. He said, I set before you. Come on, y'all. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record or to record against you this day. So there's nothing that the record should not be speaking that you are not in. It says he calls heaven and earth to record. You've been made citizens of heaven. You live on the earth. Amen. Your challenge comes from the earth. Your victory comes from heaven. And he said, I have put both of them in play in your life. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, hint, choose life. Okay? He didn't tell you to choose fear. He didn't tell you to choose worry. He told you to choose life. And then he made a promise that when you choose life, it's going to be good for your children and your children's children, that your seed, that it may go well with you and your seed. I mean, God's word is so active, so real, so precious, so faithful, that he did not only take care of you, he took care of your seed. God thinks different than we do. He said he'll take care of your seed. He didn't say he'll take care of your child, singular, seed, everything that comes out of the seed. The second, third, fourth generation that comes out of the seed is still considered your seed. God thinks in three generations, period, minimal. I said generations, not decades, generations. A good man is supposed to leave an inheritance to his children's children. That's the good man, the first set of children, and the grandchildren. Three generations. He thinks that way. He wants you to be removed from the issue so far that three generations live off of what you understood. Come on, y'all. Because you can pray and intercede on a daily basis for them that they would come to the place where the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would see the inheritance that's in the saints. An inheritance, beloved, is given to the next generation. You live in the promise, and it becomes the inheritance for your seed. It is the inheritance that was given from God, but it was given to take care of your seed's seed. Amen. You were not brought here to have to deal with all of the mistakes that other generations made. Once you are redeemed from the curse of the law, when Jesus is Lord, because it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might come unto the Gentile. Okay? That was the reason. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and following. He said, this is the reason that God caused Abraham to be able to enjoy it so that his seed, Jesus, I just said it and looking at it again. He said that your seed, the singular, Lord Jesus. I just don't know if you are getting that. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Again, this is just where we're going because I'm trying to get you to understand these concepts. See, you've got to be able to start thinking of these things from the position of God's point of view. He wants to bless and increase you more and more. One place he said 1,000 times. Okay, y'all, just for the, quick of it. If he wants to increase you 1,000 times, and that was done on a daily basis, that's 3 years minimally. Amen. That the blessings that are coming upon you and overtaking you should be walked in, walked out. We should not be trying to climb up the rough side of the mountain. And the reason why is because he's made us sit together in heavenly places far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This is the way he thinks for you, about you. These are his thoughts. He says, I know these thoughts that I think toward you. They are thoughts of peace. They are not of evil. They are thoughts that would bring you to your expected end. That's the way he thinks about you. He doesn't want you to stay in the same situation, not growing and not winning. He's not trying to strengthen you. It wouldn't make much sense for him to strengthen you so that you can stay there. If that were going to be the case, looking at it from that perspective, then he would do better just to protect you and not even bother about strengthening you. But he wants to strengthen you so that as he is, so are you in this world. See? Let's look at this. Galatians chapter 3. He was talking to them because they started in faith, but went to listening at bondage. Okay, we'll do it this way. Witchcraft is putting someone in bondage, holding them hostage. Okay? When you are under the power of another, witchcraft. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have put you under the power of bewitchment? Who's put you in bondage? See, that's what he would want to know. Who has put you in bondage? And the reason we know that you're in bondage is you don't obey the truth. See, I mean, it's real simple. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because when you function in truth, the one that functions in truth is going to be made free. You shall know the truth, become intimate with the truth, and the truth shall not set, make you free. It works 24/7. It's even at work when you don't want it to work. Amen. Because it's going to make you free. How does it make you free? By you continuing. If you are a visitor, when trouble starts, then you don't have the power that he's given you to be made free. You're in a position of heart that you hope to be free instead of made free, instead of being redeemed, which is what he's going to talk about here in a second. Because those that are redeemed, there was a price paid for them. They are not just free because of their own works and thought processes. They were made free. Payment was given. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, caused you to walk in witchcraft. And we know it's true because you don't obey the truth. And this truth was set before you, whose eyes? Jesus Christ had been set before you. He says, you've seen the working power of God. Your eyes have seen this. It was evidently set forth. It was undeniable. And particularly as you are saved, because at your salvation, a transition took place. A translation took place. He said, he hath, past tense, delivered you out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved son, of his dear son. That was an instantaneous execution. Okay? Maybe transition was a word that makes you think it's going to be more processional. It was immediate. Okay? It is just as immediate as when we go on to be with the Lord. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with them. He didn't say to be absent from the body is to be on the journey to heaven. I'm sorry, it didn't say that. It's an instant exchange. And then when you believe in the power of that instant translation, then you can have benefits from that. Amen. It says that you have been bewitched and you don't obey the truth, but Jesus has been set forth in your eyes because you saw that his death did this. His death gave you a path to truth. His death, as he said in John chapter 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man gets to the Father but by me. He became the door, the portal. And so he says, you've already seen, understood that he was crucified, so you can come in. Then he asks, how long will you stay outside in bondage? I made a way for you to get to the Father. Because this truth was evidently set forth before you, in your eyes, in your understanding, in your place of illumination. For the entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. He said, this is what I would learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So then that's the question that you have to answer. Did you receive the victory, the Spirit that brings victory, not sometimes, that brings victory all the time? He always causes you to triumph. Amen. See, he calls you to be a co-laborer with God, and he has a track record of whatever and zero. Even when it looked like he was going to lose, he won and won the victory for us at the same exact time. The devil thought that he killed Jesus. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that if they had known the mystery that was hidden in Jesus, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This was a mystery that was hidden in God. And Jesus invited you into this mystery. Amen. He worked the mystery for you, and then, this is just good. He worked the mystery for you, and then invited you into the understanding of what he already did. He's not mysterious so that you can't understand him. The devil is the one that's spiritually dead, so he couldn't understand what was happening. That's why he crucified the Lord of glory. But he worked the mystery and then invited you into the information that was mysterious before. See, he does not want you to be ignorant, beloved, concerning spiritual things. Jesus offering of his life. I said it the way I heard it because Jesus said, no man takes my life, I give it. This commandment have I, and I pick it up again. This commandment I lay it down, he said, and I pick it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. It was an offering. He laid it down. It was not a murder. The people that were executing him thought it was a murder. It was an offering. Because the only way to get you back was to have you blood bought. You needed new DNA. Because once you come to the earth, you have the DNA of sin. And he needed you to have new DNA of the Spirit. Because he that is born of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, all these things are just in there. I'm going to try to get to the book of John 1:12 and following. We'll see how that happens. He says, I just want you to know. I need you to think. He says, this is what I want to learn of you. The Bible asks you questions, not because God is trying to keep you ignorant. He wants you to know if you understand where you are, if you understand who you are, if you understand whose you are. When Adam sinned, God didn't say, Adam, where are you? Because he didn't know where God or Adam was. He was saying that so that Adam could find out he had been separated. And Adam confessed, it's about the separation I got. Because I knew that I was naked, and I covered my head myself. How did you know you was naked? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat from? Well, yes, God, I ate of the tree. And now I see things as you wanted me to see them. That's not what he told him. Oh, see, that's just good, y'all. Come on. Listen at the deception. Listen at the witchcraft. The statement the devil said is when you eat of the tree, you will be as God. You will know what God knows. Okay? And then he bit of the tree. And then he didn't know what God knew anymore. He only knew what he could experience. He knew that he was naked. He was not in connection, communication, and fellowship with God at the same level that he was. God still came to him. Come on, y'all. God still came to him. But the man was reaching for God, but couldn't touch him. Have you ever felt like that? Reaching for God, hoping that your prayers are going to get answers. Hoping that your prayers will reach heaven. Beloved, let me tell you, your prayer does not need to get any higher than your nose. Amen. Once your prayer that leaves a heart of belief leaves your lips, it is already answered. Remember Daniel. The angel came after 21 days and said, when you first started this prayer enterprise, I was sent. God heard you. Didn't look like it. Didn't feel like it. But when you first started this prayer in enterprise, I was, the answer was dispatched. But because there is angelic trouble that was placed there by man, the prince of Persia hindered me. Didn't say he stopped me, glory to God. Said he just hindered me. Slowed me down a little bit. A delay is not a denial. Amen. When I say in Jesus' name, amen, what amen means is so be it. Didn't say to continue to just hope it. He said, so be it. Okay? But when you are bewitched under the power of others, not even on your own benefit and power, you go into bondage because you believe a lie, and a lie will always take you to bondage. Every time, if you tell it or if you believe it, the lie will take you to bondage. Okay, Jesus said you will know the truth and the truth would make you free. Conversely, if you know the lie will put you in bondage. If you are familiar with the lie, if you are intimate with the lie, you go to bondage. Okay, that's the way it goes. That's the way it was set up. He said, this, I want you to tell me. I've given you the power. I've given you the choice. Now you tell me, where are you going to be found? Paul said, I want to be found in him. I don't want to be having my own righteousness. I want to be found. I don't want to be found around him. That wasn't Paul's statement. Paul said, I want to be found in him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in. That's where my safety is. See? I can appreciate being around God. I can appreciate the devils know that there is one God, and they tremble. Didn't cause them to be delivered, did it? See? But when I am found to have removed my authority to think the wrong things, to believe the lie, because it's my choice. It's going to come a time, according to Hebrews chapter 5, that your senses are going to know the difference between good and evil. Glory to God. Your taste, your sight, your hearing, your smell, your touch, they will know the difference between good and evil, because you will be those of strong meat. Glory to God. Of full age. He's asking us to grow up here. See? And I know that you have been of one thought and one position of heart for a long time. Amen. Not mad at you. I'm glad you had enough inner understanding to give Jesus your heart. Now let him strengthen that same heart. He doesn't want you just to give him the heart and then don't ever go into the room where he's doing the surgery, where he's trying to cause you to have a new way of thinking, causing you, taking the time to allow you to bring every thought into captivity until that thought obeys Christ. And not only does it obey Christ, it has a readiness to then revenge all disobedience. Oh, my God. This is your thinking. This ain't me trying to revenge somebody else's thinking. You can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See? Because I said, we don't war in the flesh, even though we walk in the flesh. Our job is to bring captivity the thoughts that keep us in the flesh, in the place of lack, fear, want. Amen. I am giving you a litany of scriptures to give you a roadmap how to get out of this. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? This is what I need to learn. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the victory by works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? So that, again, your victory is always going to be in the hearing of faith. The process of allowing the word that is entered to illuminate and faith come alive. It's not just enough to hear the word, because the James asks us, he says, the one that's going to be the blessed is going to be the man that not only hears, but the man that does. See, so you can hear the word. They can preach at you till you purple in the face and slip out the room because of the anointing that was available. But if you don't use the word, do the word, then you're going to be worse off. Because the devil who has deceived you into mediocrity is going to keep the bondage being increased in your life so that you will go around mountains 40 years. When the distance from your trial to your victory was less than a week away. I'll even give you one better. And in our situation, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Amen. And you do well that you would take heed to the promise. As the day star and the day star arise in your heart. See, that means you can have this day star any day, right? It was not a yearly star. Amen. It was a day star. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today, if you will hear his voice. See? So he doesn't want you to harden your heart by believing a lie and then becoming bitter because you believed the lie rather than believing the word. Was your victory done because of the works of the law? When the legal eagle comes around, that's the devil. He's a legalist. He's going to try to remind you of all the stuff you said and did when it's already under the blood. Amen. Didn't Jesus say that before you ask, the Father knew what you had need of? Amen. So then the confession is just the completion of it. But if I turn my heart, he already is sending answers what I have need of. But I'm going to go through this process of vain repetition, hoping that God hears me this time. Because I know I messed up, God, and said that. I know I thought that, and I know you hold that against me. He said, I'm not going to count. I am not counting your offenses against you. See, you're counting them. I see blood. Amen. When he looks at me through Calvary. Amen. One that already knew a mistake was going to be made, and he said, okay, now, if you confess it, it's over. I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. So why am I still going back there 27 times for something that was 27 years old? Okay, I didn't believe that the faith, the hearing of faith, is what was necessary. I believe that the rehearsal of sin was greater than the hearing of faith. You might want to write that one down. I need to stop believing that the rehearsing of sin is greater than the hearing of faith. The just live by faith, not by rehearsal of sin. They are in bondage by rehearsal of sin. Jesus said it this way: by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I believe that the blood of Jesus was enough for my victory, then I state that and move from that position. Or I could continue to hope and beg and plead God that maybe he's going to do something. And I'm now activating my fears rather than my faith. And the unjust will die in his fears. He will have no motion. He will be in bondage until death. Do not be deceived. This is the way that it works. Every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So you believed the lie, fell into the sin, and now you play with the sin until death happens, and now you have no way out. Because you don't have, you didn't hear faith to cause you to turn it around. You kept hearing the condemnation, even though he said there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, he said it's a law. Glory to God. It's a law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, Jesus, taking on the form of sin, became sin, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I mean, these are just the promises that he has invited you into, and we have done disgrace to the Spirit of God because we didn't believe that. This is what I would learn of you, O foolish Galatians. Did you receive the victory by works? Did you receive the Spirit, the promise that God made by his Spirit through the works of the law? Or did you receive this information that takes you to the next level by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Now you're going to be made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if yet be in vain? He that ministered unto you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He keeps inviting us into the greater place. He says that the people can work miracles and ministers by the Spirit to you. Does this process come because they were good people? Or was it by the hearing in the ears of someone that understood grace is not for my mistake. Grace is for my growth. Glory to God. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same. The same are the children of Abraham. And God foreseeing that, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall how many nations? All nations. See, again, God is thinking way past you. He has invited you into the ministry of reconciliation for all sin. Go ye, therefore, into every nation. but I can't because I did this and I said, he said, no, God speaks to people that will listen and believe that it wasn't because of my mistake that this conversation is taking place. It is because of the grace, abounding grace, that I called you into. See? For as many, so then we which be of faith are blessed. We which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Didn't say we who be of faith are trying to be blessed. Sometimes I'll ask you what it didn't say so that you can clearly hear what he did say. For as many were under the works of the law were under the curse. The law, under the works of the law were under the curse. For it is written, this is the scripture that brought us here. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. But this it should be seen too. For the just shall live by faith. Is the law not of faith? And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in the law. Why? Verse 13 and following is what we said. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. How? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why, God? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's not just the promise of the evidence of the Spirit. That's the promise of the Spirit that will take up abode in you and bring all things to your remembrance, what Jesus has said, that will teach you all things, that will lead you into all the truth, that will show you things to come and give you power. That's the promise of the Spirit. John 14, 26, 15, 26, 16, 13, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. See? That's, if you would, I call that the fivefold ministry of the Holy Ghost. Bring to your remembrance what Jesus said. Lead you into all the truth. Teach you all things. Show you things to come. And give you the power to become effective witnesses. I mean, the blessing, come on, y'all, come on, come on. He said that the blessing of Abraham. Did he say that the blessings of Abraham? No, he did not. He said that the blessing, and there are blessings included in the blessing. But we're looking for events and outcomes when if you would walk in life, the outcomes then are controlled by you. God, that's good. Because whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you lose is loose. If you walk in the blessing, outcomes can be controlled by you. I done said amen right now. I done preached myself at it. Lord Jesus. See, we don't have to go through stuff, you know, just continually frustrated. We can be the ones that say, okay, good. This too shall pass. The things concerning me, they have an end. And this is the end right now. Devil, you can go no further. My steps are ordered. Okay, I'll even go one further. Finish the scripture. My steps are ordered of the Lord. A good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. I'm not taking orders from you. You are not the author of my faith. You are not the developer of my faith. There are preordained steps that I should walk. So I'm not going to stand in this mess any longer. I'm going to begin to draw nigh unto God. And as I draw nigh unto God, he will then draw nigh unto me. I will then purify my heart. I'll purify my double-minded position. See? I'll then resist the devil, and he will flee. I will submit myself unto God, and he will exalt me. And the time when I do that is the time when it's due. Oh, that's good, y'all. He said he would exalt me in due time. Well, the time that I give my heart to God, that's the time things are due. Okay, all right. If there is an exchange made, then the end of the exchange is due at the time of the exchange, isn't it? He wrote me a promissory note. It's called the Bible. But when I do what it says in the promissory note, the promise is now activated. It is now due time. My God, my God. See, we don't have to go through decades of unanswered prayer. We can settle the thing right now. Because if I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt me when the time is due. And if I submit myself, humble myself, time is now due. I'm just inviting you into what the Bible says. I know people have found great preaching points from that and then encouraged us to continue to wait in frustration instead of waiting in faith because we were waiting for the time to be due whenever God makes up his mind. But let me help you out so that you can understand God has made up his mind. Jesus said, it is finished. Mind made up. You can tell his mind was made up because after that, the next things that we hear is that he was seated at the right hand of the throne of God, the throne majesty on high, until the enemies be put under his feet. Connect the dots. He's sitting down because there's nothing else for him to do. And then he invited you. Goodness, this is good. And he invited you into his rest. He didn't invite you into the fight. The only fight that you have is the good fight of faith. I check. The only good fight is a fight I win. Not a, a good fight is a fight I'm in, not just a fight I'm in. Glory to God. Why? Because it is due time. Glory to your name, Jesus. I mean, God's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him to do something. He has sat down because the work is finished. He's the door. He's the door. And if any man go through the door, they will go to the place where the Father is. They won't go to the place where trouble is still there. Did he not say in his presence there is fullness of joy? Help me out, please. So if I'm where the Father is, then trouble has to be removed because he said fullness of joy. Amen. This is not pie in the sky. This is some steak on my plate, some ham where I am. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Who brought you back into a life that faith was not feeding you? I said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose. Okay, please listen to this note. He said, therefore, you choose. He did not tell you to allow other people, other entities to choose for you. Amen. I appreciate your grandmama and them, but your grandmama and them don't make this decision. You do. Therefore, you choose. Amen. Amen. I mean, the victory is won in the choice. The victory is given in the process. Oh, please write that down. The victory is won in the choice. The victory is given in the process. It becomes manifest through the process. But it was given with the choice was made. You were translated out of the power of darkness into the glorious liberty of his dear son. You were translated. See? The victory is given because the process is followed. The exchange happens by vocal command. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you believe that you have received them and you shall have them. The exchange is immediate. The process is now to be walked out. Now it's going to be given. It was already exchanged. It's already yours. And he's not going to withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. Not a part of it. He's not. After you accept him, he's not issuing out promissory notes anymore. Glory to God. When you've accepted him, you are translated. You are a son. You are a joint heir. Stop thinking like a hobo, a beggar. Just to finish this point. 13. Christ has redeemed us. Past tense. Past tense. Redeemed. He's not redeeming. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's redeemed. And what he needs us to do as the redeemed is speak the right thing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, Lord, I bless you. Let the redeemed say so. This is the end of that. Let them say so. Why? Because I'm redeemed. So this is stuff that you've been trying? That's the end of that. You can take that down the street to somebody else. Take that down the street where people don't know. Because he told me, if I continue in this word, I will know the truth, and the truth will make me free. You can take that down the street where somebody don't know yet. I'll be down there and talk to them in a minute. But right now, for me in my life, as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live in this victory. We're going to live in the understanding of the grace that abounds towards me. I love abounding grace. That was grace that was on the way to me even before I started coming back to it. It was on the way. It's abounding. It's seeking me out. Isn't that what goodness and mercy said was said about goodness and mercy? That they would follow me all the days of my life, even when I decided to rebel. Goodness and mercy did not go on vacation. Glory to God. They are still following me. I'm going through hell, and they're waiting on the other side. Because I'm going to have to turn around. Repent. Stop going through hell. Turn around. Go back to the heavenly cause. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us, as it is written. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man can then disannul it or add to it. He says, so y'all understand this in the natural. If it was confirmed, glory to God, then there's nothing you can do about it. That's exactly what he said in Numbers chapter 19. He says that God is blessed, and I can't curse. I can't reverse this. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Once a promise has been confirmed, it cannot be disannulled by another man. Okay. Wow. Notice what he did say here. I didn't see this just now. He said, not only can it be disannulled, it cannot be added to. So the lying devil that came and added to what God said in the garden, and he said, don't touch the tree, is not what he said. He said, don't eat of the tree. But the devil added to it. Amen. Eve said, no, God has said, if you should not touch the tree. Wasn't what God said. It was a promise, covenant promise that was added to. You see how the devil, there's nothing new under the sun. This is the same thing he's been doing. If he can get you to add to it, then you'll try to be Lord of it. Ooh, that was good, sir. Amen. He said, no, I'm leaving it. I'm taking it out of your deal. You're going to have to hear truth and truth only. When you become intimate with the truth, that will cause you to be free. That will make you free. See? But I, so that y'all say, you understand this. I'm going to speak to you in your language. You understand that if it's a man's covenant, if it be confirmed, no man can change it. No man can add to it. We're walking in the same promise that caused Abraham, and the statement that was made about Abraham is he was the richest man in these. Excuse me. He was very rich. That's what it said about Abraham. He was very rich, and Abraham understood it. And he said, don't let a man think, don't let it be said that a man made Abraham rich. That's the mouth of two witnesses, isn't it? They said he was rich, very rich, and he said, don't let people think this rich came someplace else. God did this. I simply believed the promise, and as I exchanged the words of that promise, come on, y'all, look at it, look at it. He walked in the sacrifice. He walked ankle deep in the blood of the heifer. And then God said to him while he was walking in the blood that I'll be a covenant partner with you. I'll be a God to you. Your enemies are now my enemies. Those that bless you, I will bless. This is what was happening. This is the conversation. So that Abraham could understand blood makes a difference. This is Abraham cutting the blood covenant with God. The Bible says that a lamp or a fire walked through the halves of that heifer. They were walking out the covenant issues, the covenant contract statements. Walk before me and be perfect, and I'll be a God to you. I'll take care of your enemies. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. So then I begin to ask you, are you one that understands that because I walk through the covenant, the blood of Jesus, as I walk through that covenant from promise to promise, glory to God, that every one of those promises is being spoken directly to me, and now no man, once it is confirmed, and the Bible says about Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, that he said he works with them, confirming his word with signs following. So that word was confirmed. So no man can disannul it, and no man can add unto it. Come on. Come on, keep reading it. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises, plural, made. He said, not to his seed as of many, but to one, and thy seed, which was Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, it was confirmed. The law, which was 430 years afterward, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. As men, he said, they would understand this. And he was expanding their thought to say, this promise was made between God and Jesus so that the seed would have the promise. And then his seed can have the promise, which is us. Glory to God. For the inheritance, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And then it was ordained or managed by angels in the hand of a mediator. Then the mediator is not the mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if the law had not been given, if there had not been a law given which could have life given, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus might be given to them that believe. He wanted to do what? He wanted to give that promise to us, those that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith that we should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster only to do one thing. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Your guilty feelings that are generated because you think you slipped and messed up, that was only to bring you a schoolmaster to bring you to a new teacher. That we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under that teacher, that system. Please come out of that system, trying to earn it, trying to be perfect in your own eyes. We're no longer under that schoolmaster. For if all the children of God by faith, but we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized unto Christ, have put on Christ. So there is neither Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free. There's neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow, Lord, look at that. He says, and you are heirs according to the promise. You're not heirs of the promise. He says you're heirs according to the promise because you are Abraham's seed. So what Abraham got, you got. What Jesus got, you got. Because you are heirs according to the promise. All right. If you would, that's my introduction. So I'll just make some summations here, and we'll come back to this next week. But I wanted you to see that. I didn't want you to see that. God prompted me to have you to see that, so that you can understand where you should stand in all of this. See, wow, that's good, sir. I said where you should stand, not where you're trying to approach. Remember, he has translated you out of dark, the power of darkness, and into. See, he's not taking you around a promise. He's taking you into. Okay? I mean, we live our lives as if we're trying to get around the promise of God, around the presence of God, so that we can enjoy something. No, God did you one better. He put you into his presence. For in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our very being. Did not say around him. See, again, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. I want to do what has been proven that it works by those who have obtained like precious faith. I don't want to particularly go to around those that just heard about like precious faith. Amen. I want the people in my life to be those that have walked out of darkness into the victory. Okay, let's do it this way. Have been translated out of darkness into victory and now walk from glory to glory. Yeah, there it is. That'll work. See? I don't need people that are trying to minister into my life. Give me a word that goes from glory to trouble. He didn't promise me glory to trouble. He said glory to glory, faith to faith. I don't go from faith to fear. Amen. I go from faith to faith. I look for faith. You know why I look for faith? Because it says about Jesus, when he comes back, he'll be looking for faith. Amen. So that I look for it too. I'm a joint heir with him. I look for faith in the situation. How does God get glory? Not how do I, okay. Ooh, Lord Jesus. It does not say how do I work glory. I said how does God get glory? Because he told me, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. It didn't say, work unto the Lord the glory due his name. That might sound like a little point, but I believe that that's some of the things that has locked us out of the grace wherein we stand. This is the abounding grace. He sent it to me so that I can partake of it. The abundant grace is the resident power of God extended toward us with the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. This is my first point right here, people. Like I said, all the rest of that was just foundation so that when you hear this, you can go back and say, well, that's what he just did. The grace of God is the resident power of God extended toward us with the intent and purpose meet every challenge and cause victory. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 12, and we'll just finish it to the end of that chapter. It says, for the word of God is alive, that's what the word quick means, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, unnaked and open to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Seeing then, understanding this, starting from this as my first step, seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed unto the heavens. He says our high priest is not stuck in a problem. It says our high priest has passed into the heavens, the place where all power resides. This is our high priest. Okay? So then the my prayers start from a position of victory because my high priest has already passed through into where declarations have been made about me because I am the one that is blessed according to the promise. See, I'm not the one trying to find a promise and then hoping it works. No, I am the one that enters in the same way the one who first entered in, the one that was forever entered in, Jesus, who has passed into the heavens. I'm right there. I'm a joint heir with him. That's what makes me part of the family of God. To them that believe, he gave them the power to become sons. Seeing then, starting from that point. Don't see back. Come on, y'all. See from then. Seeing then is a now moment, isn't it? He didn't say having saw then. He said seeing, active. We have a great high priest. Okay, I don't even have a high priest, y'all. I have a great high priest. Glory to God. That is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. He says, so now, because of that, seeing then, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So since he can be touched with my feelings, that's where I need to take my feelings. Other people are not going to be touched with your feelings. They'll reach for them, but they just can't touch. There will be lacking and wanting between you and them. They'll want to understand what you're going through, but they can't. But Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities because he was tempted in all points like as we yet without sin. Because of this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And in this place where you have come boldly, he didn't come say, come sheepishly. He didn't say, come begging. I'm sorry. He did not even say, come. He said, come boldly, not timidly. I appreciate coming and trying to honor the Lord with this stuff that we've been taught as false humility. But he said, throw that away. Stop that. Who has bewitched you? Who's got you under some power and spell? He said, come boldly to the place where grace is poured out, the throne of it. A supernatural, abounding, abundant, flowing grace. Come to that place. And he says, when you get there to the place where grace is being dispensed, now obtain mercy. Grace is so full that it has, according to this scripture, grace is so full that it has mercy in it. You're going to go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Glory to God. The definition that I have for grace and mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. You did the wrong thing, but you're going to ask for mercy. And now he says, at the time you get this exchange, he said, you'll get what you didn't deserve, grace. Hallelujah. How am I going to win with power twins on my side like this? Goodness and mercy, grace and mercy. How can I lose? And he said, and why are you there? Okay, wait a minute, y'all. Notice he didn't say, and when you leave. He said, come to the throne of grace boldly, that you may obtain mercy. And while you are there, still obtaining mercy, receiving grace, find specifically the grace to help you in the time of need. Wow. You don't leave there without answers, beloved. You don't leave there still hoping and wishing. He said, obtain. Find. I love that. That if I thought for some reason that I was not deserving, and Lord Jesus, we've been taught that I get that false humility. And I'm not trying to tell you to go find spiritual pride. I want you to find the truth, because the truth causes freedom. Makes you free. Even when you don't understand, truth is working behind the scenes, through the scene. And then you'll be able to find the grace that's there to help me specifically in this case, in the time of my need. Grace wants to answer my need. He did not say, I'm sorry, y'all just reading the scripture. He did not say in this scripture that you would find comfort. I'm sorry, not there. He said, obtain mercy, find grace. Grace is the power of God, the resident power of God towards us with the intent of and purpose of meeting every challenge and causing victory. See, this is what he said. This is not, I didn't change any of the words. When you read this with me, it was already in your Bible. I've never been to your house changing your Bible, putting new words in there. I have not been there. This is what was written there. Why? So that we can obtain it, so that we can find it, so that we can function in that. Then as we do that, we will then be able to enjoy the victory that's already been given to us. The exchange was taking place at verbal command. The process is where we then receive and walk in the manifestation. See, it was not that God didn't do it. It was instant. In Jesus' name, answer. In Jesus' name, amen, answer. Again, amen means so be it. Because Jesus is the one that said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. He said, ask in my name that your joy might be full. He didn't say that your comfort can start. See, when we approach God from a religious standpoint, that is us being tricked by witchcraft, controlled, manipulated. That's what witchcraft is. It is manipulation. It's really bad when you're being manipulated when God's already given you what you desire. Why would you need to be manipulated when the gift has already been given? I mean, you don't go to work in the natural, speaking as men. You don't go to work and then have to go trick them into giving you your salary. That's part of the covenant agreement. It's there. On said date, money is yours. I show up, there's the check. I can get it better now. Electronic disbursement. I wake up on said day, money's in my bank account. I don't have to trick them into giving me what's mine. You don't have to trick God into giving you what's yours. Please the Father to give you the whole kingdom. All of the promises of God are yes, and all of the promises of God are amen. To the glory of God by us. He's not joking. He's watching over his word so that he can bring it to pass, perform it in your life. But we've been a double-minded, a thought process person, and though we think, well, I don't deserve it. Okay, really, let me help you. I deserve it. I got nothing to do with it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Deserve has nothing to do with it. You are entering into a finished work, not a necessary work. It's already finished. See? Those are the things that God is reminding us of over and over and over again. The fivefold ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring to our members what Jesus has said. He didn't even say what Jesus is saying. He said what he said would be good enough. He will tell you what he's saying. He'll show you things to come. Same Holy Ghost. But just what he said will get your mind to thinking, right? Because you've taken the word and it was no longer just a logos word that's written. It becomes a rhema word that's alive. Alive by what you hear and alive in the actions of your response. If the word is not active in your response, then you still have a logos word. You haven't obtained the mercy. You've heard about it. You'd like to have it. You haven't investigated to find the grace that is specific for your time of need. See, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That it wants to divide, separate, remove you from bad ways of thinking, bad actions. You shouldn't do. You should not react anyway, people. I'll just tell you that again. If the first book in the New Testament is the book of Acts, not the book of reacts. So I don't have to wait for somebody to do something to me and then try to react to that. I can say, you know what? This was done, but I'm going to count it off joy when I fall into a diverse temptation. I'm going to let patience have a perfect work with me. So that I will not be wanting. I will be perfect and entire. See, I'm using now the weapons of my warfare, and they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pull down that junk that was in my mind. That I'm going to bring that thought into captivity until that thought obeys Christ. I'm not going to say, I show hope. No. That thought has not yet obeyed Christ. Christ has said that if I ask anything, the Father will give it me. I'm going to obey that. He wants my joy to be full. I'm going to obey that. He's not interested in me just having comfort so I can come up with the strength to endure. He's made me more than a conqueror. Amen. So we're going to have to allow an awakening to take place in the place where God has called us to stand, in the grace where we stand. He did his part. The grace abounded toward us and invited us into a stand. Now we need to walk. That's the way it should work. Translation, stand, move. Approach God. When I approach God, when I humble myself, I draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto me. Then he will cause my time to be due. I will humble myself. And he will. He didn't say he will think about it. I'm sorry. That's not what's in the scripture. He said he will exalt you because the time is now due. If I draw nigh unto him and he moves and comes towards me in that thing that I'm believing him for. I'm not trying to get my prayers to heaven. They ain't got to make it past my nose. If it comes out of my mouth, the redeemed say so. Ooh, Lord, that's good. He didn't say, let the redeemed of the Lord pray so. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm not trying and hoping something happens. I declared it. I will decree a thing, and it shall be established unto me. I will say to this mountain, be thou plucked up, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall obey me. I will speak to the sycamore tree, remove thyself and put yourself over there. Go trouble somebody else. Let the redeemed say it. But as we always say, the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for giving us clarity in our position so that we will know where we are found in you and where our strength comes from in that position of faith. Grow us up, Lord, and cause us to walk uprightly so that we can please you. Because you said that if we would diligently seek you, you will then be a diligent rewarder. So, Father, we thank you that as we align our hearts to receive what you have already released in our behalf, that we would then please you because we are walking and living in faith. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his Lord and Savior, the redeemed said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, beloved, as we always do, at the end of the ministry, we will give you an opportunity. If you wrote down a comment or a question and you'd like to make that, now is the time for you to do that. So I'm going to turn the mic over to area code 404-322-5512. Area code 404-322-5512. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry for tonight? Go ahead. All right. We'll go to the next caller. Area code 817-919-1557. You have the mic. Go ahead. Amen. Glad to have you on the call. We always look for you to be here and share in the experience of growing together. I don't say these things because I'm trying to be a know-it-all. I'm saying these things because I found that these things are life, and he's invited us into life. He said, I am come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. So, amen. Just want you to participate in that with us. And I remind you that if the Lord lays it on your heart, sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com. You should just go to the website and go to the donate tab, and you should be able to give as the Lord leads, because he said it is no small thing if we give you, feed you with spiritual things, that you should give of your natural substance to cause this message to continue to reach people that need truths that would transform. We would like you to, while you're there on the site, to like, subscribe, and share so that we can get a tally on the people that we're ministering to week by week, so that we can continue to first cover in prayer the people that come on, and then give thanks and praise for God that the word that is alive will be walked out and used on a daily basis. But that is our desire, to see you enjoy the best that God has in the time that you live in. So until the next time that we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you his peace. Until the next time, shalom.